My message this morning is entitled, We Need More Namaste. So, this past week on Wednesday, my wife and I made a conscious decision to not celebrate the 4th of July. Now, there's lots of ways that I could explain why we made the decision, but possibly the easiest way to explain is the concept of namaste. We'll get to the specifics of that in just a bit, but let's first spend some time thinking about the philosophical and theological implications of namaste. So, namaste is a Sanskrit word that essentially means, and many of you know this, the divine in me honors the divine in you. Now, from a purely linguistic perspective, nama actually means bow, as means I, and te means you. So, bow me, you, or I bow to you. Now, the larger meaning of the word, however, is much greater than the simple concept of humbling yourself before someone, even though it does include that part of the meaning. It seems to me, though, that it can be sometimes helpful to find a succinct phrase that captures a particular spiritual teaching. It just makes it all much easier to hold on to and carry around without the need to memorize some long string of spiritual babble. Now, that said, it is important to keep in mind that there is more to namaste than what can fit onto the side of a coffee mug or on a bumper sticker. Namaste encapsulates the understanding that we all are one. It highlights the reality that beneath the outward appearances that you seem different than others, you are made of the same stuff. Or as Carl Sagan would put it, we are all made of star stuff. Or as singer-songwriter Pink once said, we all bleed red, we all cry clear tears on this endless search of meaning of life and love. Basically, we are all more the same than we are different. Tantric philosophy teaches that everything that exists is one divine consciousness that longs to experience itself in different forms. Judaism and Christianity hint at this reality in telling us that we're each made in the image of God. Unfortunately, it is in our human nature to forget this truth, that every person, thought, feeling, and experience is the perfect expression of the one divine awareness. When a being does forget by feeling separate or less than or better than and so on, well, it suffers. The teachings say that one of our highest spiritual goals should be simply remembering who you are. But by saying namaste, well, saying it, understanding what it fully means, and meaning everything that it says, you are saying that you see others for what you actually are. Tantric teachings would say that it's an affirmation of the choice to identify with the God consciousness rather than with the ego. The ego tells us that we're somehow superior or somehow inferior to any other person on this planet. It's a conscious choice to take this spiritual perspective into the laboratory of life. Ask yourself, what would life be like if you saw others as perfectly whole? What if you saw yourself that way? The Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, verse 29, they put it this way. The man whose self is disciplined at yoga, whose perception is the same everywhere, sees himself in all creatures and all creatures in himself. In his translation of the 1,000-year-old tantric spiritual text called the Recognition Sutras, Scholar Christopher Wells describes how this understanding might affect your approach to life. He says, once you become aware of the true nature of reality, everything you do becomes an act of reverence. Simply living your ordinary daily life with full awareness becomes a complete practice of meditation, a perfect form of worship, an offering to beings and into being, a being itself. Tantra teaches that because there is only one in the universe, all actions are in truth divine, the divine exploring itself. All actions are in truth the divine exploring itself, referencing itself, reverencing itself, worshiping itself. Now, many people are familiar with the idea of the Christ within. In Hinduism, in their premier text, the Bhagavad Gita, we have the Krishna within. And in the Quran, it tells us that Allah is closer than your jugular vein. The Buddhist scriptures talk about the Buddha within, and correspondingly, the Adi Granth, which is the Sikh holy text, says that, quote, the one God is all-pervading and alone dwells in the mind. Though many religious people know the idea that God is to be found within them, most people seem to think or imagine that somehow it's only a small and divided piece of God. That there is some aspect of God within us, but only an aspect. However, other passages in the scripture of the world's religions also clearly state that not only that God is indeed with us, but also that God is undivided, indivisible, always one. For instance, this idea is clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, verse 7, saying, although the supersoul, code for God within, appears to be divided, he's never divided. He is situated as one. French idealist philosopher and Jesuit priest Pierre Teilhard de Chardin put it this way, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Or C.H. Lewis once put it, there are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. The reality is that it's somewhat surprising that more people don't live life with this namaste perspective. As you've already heard, most spiritual practices have some form of it. Many cultures do as well. Actually, the Hawaiian greeting aloha has a similar meaning. One interpretation of aloha means, I bow to you. The light within me honors the light within you. The Zulu people in South Africa, the largest ethnic group, their greeting is sawubona, which actually is used by people, all kinds of people in South Africa, not just the Zulus. Sawubona means, I see you. The culturally appropriate response is nigona, which means, I am here. Now, unfortunately, translating from one language to the other, we frequently lose some of the implied meaning. But integral in the Zulu greeting and response is the sense that until you saw me, I didn't exist. By recognizing me, you brought me into existence. A Zulu folk saying clarifies, and I'm going to try to not butcher this completely. In the native language, it's Umuntu Gunumutu Nagabuntu, meaning a person is a person because of other people. A person is a person because of other people. It's such an intriguing and, I would argue, positive concept that it even made it into our fiction and entertainment. In the 2009 blockbuster hit Avatar, the Na'vi, who were the inhabitants of this fictional moon called Pandora, used the greeting, Ole Nagti Kamai, or I see you. As the Na'vi explained in the film, I see you doesn't imply simple, ordinary seeing. Instead, like namaste, the real meaning is the God in me sees the God in you. I see myself in your eyes. Now, when I try to put all of this together, I end up with three components to practicing namaste. First, we come from a place of understanding that we are made in the image and likeness of God, and that our true essence is in one way or another divine, or as Muhammad put it, whoever knows himself knows God. Now, second, we need to recognize that is the truth for each other. Not just some each others, but all others. And finally, and I would argue most importantly, we not only recognize that that particular reality, but we act accordingly. We act accordingly. When we come from a consciousness of namaste, we want nothing less than to honor, to bless, to appreciate, to serve, and to love others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul makes it clear that when one suffers, we all suffer. Science has actually already begun to hint at this reality as well. The fact is, it may be much more than just a theologically and philosophically sound perspective. It's actually beginning to look like it's a biologically sound perspective as well. Now, the phenomenon that I'm alluding to is called quantum entanglement. Basically, it seems to be suggesting that the entire universe is really a unified and inseparable oneness. Entanglement's a quantum mechanical property where if two photons occupy the same point in space at some point in time, then they essentially become a single unified whole. Now, further investigation revealed that a phenomenon called non-locality, which what they found out was that if two photons actually sat in the same space, that over time, even if they separate, they influence each other. And they influence each other instantaneously, even if they're located on opposite ends of the universe. Though separated in space, they seem to have this instant communication with one another, as if they were one single entity. It sort of makes Carl Sagan's perspective that we're all star stuff all the more intriguing. The Big Bang singularity suggests that the entire universe occupied the same point in space before the Big Bang. And as we just heard, quantum entanglement tells us that when quantum particles occupy the same space, they become permanently entangled, able to impact each other without regard to space and time. So every single atom in the universe is entangled with every other atom. Logically, I have to deduce that then, even though it all started with the Big Bang, expanded and distributed itself and its matter across the universe, it also exists as a single, unified, inseparable whole. We are all star stuff. We are all inextricably connected. The divine in me can see the divine in you. And that, my friends, is why I actively and intentionally did not celebrate Independence Day. I couldn't bring myself to celebrate my freedoms when the very government I would be celebrating is actively removing others from theirs. From children being ripped away from their parents at the borders, to the renewed effort to overturn Roe versus Wade, to the recent Supreme Court ruling allowing certain businesses to discriminate against LGBTQ folk. And the list could go on and on. Our nation is marginalizing group after group, creating a multi-level culture of privilege or lack thereof. How could I celebrate Independence Day knowing the reality of the nation asking me to celebrate it? How can I look at those being marginalized and say, namaste, aloha, sawabona, I see you? We have a lot of work to do. And a namaste perspective, even with those we disagree, is exactly the kind of thing that will begin to heal our nation and the world. So, I say to you, namaste, aloha, sawabona, I see you.
Thank you, Mark. I think I'm following your logic of us vibrating together since the Big Bang, which is what I heard. So what I'm looking
at... They talk about the Big Bang singularity, where all things were in one space.
Right, so we're all recognizing... Ideally, we're all recognizing each other in each other. So I'm waiting for your next lecture, which is going to be, how are we going about being different? What brought in this... You know, hatred of the other, or separating ourselves from each other, or so that's the
how we go about doing that when we should see ourselves. Right. So, yeah, good point. Are there others have thoughts they'd like to share?
Becca, and I was curious if anyone had tips for saying namaste to the bullies that we meet. That's very difficult for me. It's so easy to say namaste to people that I see as gentle, but when dealing with a situation with a person and I feel is attacking me on any sort of level, you know, whether emotionally or potentially physical threat or what have you, then, you know, it's much harder.
Are there others who have something they'd like to share?
I just wanted to share this memory I had when at the beginning of your talk. When I was a little girl in Connecticut at a congregational church, a man from Africa came in his native garb with his, you know, hat, and he was very colorful. And he looked so different, but he was very interesting. And I remember him saying how similar we were. And he opened his mouth and he stuck his tongue out to show us all that the inside of him was the same, and that always stuck with me. It was a wonderful memory.
It is. That's neat. Thanks for sharing.
How cool was that?